In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. I'm looking at one verse today, and it's from Matthew 2:21. "And she," that is Miriam of Nazareth, "shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Thou shalt call his name Jesus, the name above all names. You know, we think of the coming of the Lord as at the first coming and the second coming. The first coming in Nazareth, when he was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, brought forth in Bethlehem. That's the first coming. And we think of the second coming when he will come in glory as the judge of the living and the dead. But you know, there is a middle coming. There is a middle coming. Jesus coming to us by grace. Jesus coming to inhabit us by grace. And he comes and dwells in our hearts. "Lift up your gates, O ye lintels, and be thou lifted up, that the King of glory may enter in." Oh yes, lift up the gates of your heart, and be thou lifted up, that the King of glory, Jesus, may enter in. You see, we think of the first coming in Nazareth and in Bethlehem, and the final coming at the end of time. But what about the time and the coming of Jesus when he comes to indwell a soul, a heart, a life? Oh, it makes all the difference in the world. And today I have with me this biblical scholar from Steubenville University, Tony Arza. Next question, please. Tell us about this coming of Jesus in silence, this coming of Jesus by grace, this coming of Jesus as the longing of the hearts of men and women.
Well, you know, it's like St. Augustine says, you know, "My heart is restless until it rests in thee." And this is what we're seeing here, you know, in this scripture. You know, Jesus is coming now. And, you know, we're nearing Christmas and we're coming to this time, and Jesus is coming. And we have to ask ourselves, are we going to open up that door to our hearts? Are we going to let him come in? Are we going to let him transform us? And if we don't, we're going to live in emptiness. Because really, without Jesus, that's what we have, you know. And, you know, I remember yesterday we were driving, Father, and I asked you, I said, you know, how do people go through their lives without Jesus? You know, how do they do it? I mean, what do we live for? I mean, if we don't have Christ, we have nothing. And here we are, you know, in this Christmas season, and if you're listening to this, you have this opportunity now to open up that door of your heart to Christ. And the question is, will you? Because he truly has come, not only to save us from hell, but from our sins. You see, we don't have to be enslaved anymore. Jesus has come to save us from our sins. And, you know, he's offering us an intimate, you know, relationship. Not just a friendship, but an intimacy. You know, Jesus doesn't just love us, he's in love with us. He desires us. And that's something we can't forget. We can't forget, like you said, this middle coming, this coming into our hearts. This is why we have this Advent season. It's, you know, we're called to remember that Christ came, but to remember that he's still coming, and that we need to be able to open up our hearts. And this is not just a one-time thing. This every day. Every day we wake up, we need to choose Christ again. We need to choose to allow him to be born in our hearts. And we can only do that when we allow the Holy Spirit to overshadow us, just like Mary did.
Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I teach the children that song, you know, but that song is not only for children. That song is for everyone. Amen.
really asking Jesus, you know. Jesus who comes to save us. To save us from sin, to save us from Satan, to save us from hell, to save us from our dysfunction, to save us from our darkness. Jesus comes in when we invite him. That 24th Psalm is such a marvelous song. You know, lift up your gates and let him enter, the King of Glory. Let him enter, Jesus, the Savior. His name means Yahweh saves. And he saves through the blood. He saves through the cross. He saves because his Son became a curse so that you would be the righteousness of God. His Son took our place on the cross. His Son became sin and a curse on the cross. For the scripture says, cursed is the man who dies on a cross. That's why St. Paul was so vehemently against the early Christian people. Why? Because he knew the Bible, and it said, cursed is the man who dies upon a cross. And the early faithful people were saying Jesus was Messiah. But how could he be Messiah, Paul thought, or Saul thought? Because the Bible tells us, cursed is the man who dies upon a cross. And St. Paul then writes, he became a curse so that you and I would become the righteousness of God. You know, it's so amazing, amazing. He became what he wasn't, so that we would become what he is. It's too much.
Yeah, and you know, it's like the Catechism says, you know, what he was, he remained, and what he was not, he assumed. You know, Christ offers us such a grace in the Incarnation. The Incarnation is so beautiful, and very often it's overlooked, but you know, this is something radical, as you know. I've said, you know, the past couple of radio shows, the ones I've been on, and things like that. You know, and what I've been telling everyone that I've been talking to, you know, when we enter the Christmas season, it's a time to really step back and just think about how radical this is. To really step back and think, okay, God became man. This isn't ordinary. This is extraordinary. This is something that should transform. This is something that should really call us on to something else, because the God, creator of all things, now becomes man. This is something that I mean, it's radical, and yet we approach it so ordinarily. I mean, how many people have a Christmas tree out? How many people are going to celebrate Christmas Day? Yet, how many people are actually going to celebrate what's happening here? How many people are going to recognize that on this day, a child is born? Not just a child, but God is born. I mean, just think about that. God became man. Why? To die for us. And it's like you said, Father, the only child who was born to die. And why? Because he loves you. Because God the Father loves you so much that he sent his only Son, so that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. And this is life-changing. I mean, if we really allow the radicalness of this to transform us, if we allow it to touch our hearts, if we really contemplate this, God became man, then we would be changed. And we need to be able to look at this and not let it become something ordinary. Yeah, we've celebrated Christmas, you know, all our lives, but this is not something ordinary. No matter how many times you celebrate the Incarnation, no matter how many times we talk about it, it's not empty. It still has more. There's still more there, because the one whom we speak of is infinite. And you think about it, you know, the infinite became finite for us.
Yesterday when we had our live nativity, we had the Holy Family with a beautiful baby. The baby slept. It was so beautiful. She never made a peep. It was beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Let me just tell you. Isabella, Bella, Bella was the beautiful baby. We had the family, and we had them sitting, and we had the shepherds, and we had the kings. We had the sheep, and we had the donkey, and we sang and read the scriptures. But you know what was behind the Holy Family? The most beautiful crucifix that we have in bronze. It was really theologically correct that this child is destined for the rise and fall of many in Israel, that a sword shall pierce your own soul too, that the hearts of many may be laid bare. This child was born to die, and when they brought him to the temple, Simeon looked at Mary and said, "This child is destined for the rise and fall of many, and a sword, Mary, shall pierce your own soul too, that the hearts of many may be laid bare." And where did that sword pierce the Virgin Mother of God? Neath the cross of Jesus stood his mother. And as the sword pierced his heart, spiritually, that same sword went through her heart. Neath the cross of Jesus stood his mother. You see, I tell you, this week the church celebrates Mary. The first week of Advent, we looked at the coming of Jesus in glory. Second and third week of Advent, we looked at John the Baptist preparing the way of the Lord, the mouthpiece of the Lord. He must increase and I must decrease. And the fourth week is Mary, the fertile ground of the Holy Spirit. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. Mary, Mary, the queen of the Anawim, the little one of Nazareth. Mary, 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 who endured persecution all her adult life. Yes, persecution. Because everyone can count to nine, okay? Yeah, she was persecuted. But that which was conceived in her was by the Holy Spirit. She knew persecution. People would look at her askance. My Lord, she who did nothing but welcome the Word of God, she who did nothing but gave her life to the Father just as he wanted it, she who did nothing but in the power of the Spirit, the overshadowed one, welcomes salvation for her and for us. Salvation. And then she's persecuted all her life. Those were the days 2,000 years ago that people would look askance at women who got pregnant. They could even be stoned. But you know what? All for Jesus. All for Jesus. Oh, we have no idea what she suffered.
You know, speaking of Mary, you know, we see such a beautiful, you know, example. She becomes such a beautiful example for us. But one thing I wanted, you know, to note, you know, speaking on what I said before, is that, you know, Mary says, you know, how can this be? Because Mary recognizes the radical nature of what's about to happen. You know, a virgin is to conceive and bear a son who will not just be man, but God. And Mary allows the Holy Spirit to overshadow her. And this is what we must, this is so key. We must allow the Holy Spirit to overshadow us. And whenever we approach the Christmas mystery, this Advent season, we must not approach it lightly, but ask this question, you know, how can this be? You know, how? How is the Creator of everything, the Infinite, the Beautiful One, our Beloved, how is He to become man? I mean, and not just, you know, not just to appear as a man, but a child. You know, here, you know, like you said, the nativity yesterday, just looking at that child, just thinking, you know, God became man. God was an infant. He was a baby, born of a virgin. And you see, Mary's such a beautiful example because if we want Christ to be able to enter into our hearts, we must imitate what she does. She recognizes the radical nature of this message. God is going to become man. And then she says, "Thy will be done. Let it be done unto me according to thy will, according to the word which you have spoken unto me." Mary submits herself to the word, to the will of God. And when she does that, Christ is able to come into our heart. You see, we must surrender to God's will. We must surrender to his word. We must allow the Word to transform us, and when we do, that's when Christ fully comes into our hearts. That's what the season's all about. The season is about us coming into contact with the Creator of the universe. The Incarnation is God coming to meet man. And now, as we remember this, may we respond faithfully and come to meet God. And not forget what price He paid. God became man to die for us. Mary recognizes, how can this be? And that's the question I feel like we should all ask, Father, you know, it's how can this be? How can God become man?
He becomes flesh in us as we give ourselves to Him. He becomes flesh in us as we give ourselves to Him. And you know what? This is the issue, you see. It's all about the Holy Spirit. It's only the Holy Spirit who forms Jesus. And He becomes flesh in us as we surrender to the Holy Spirit. That's why there's so little of Jesus in the world and in the church. So little of Jesus. Because people do not surrender to the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah, we can have our services, and they're beautiful, and they're real. They're real. But what about becoming Jesus-like? What about becoming really a Christian? You know, nothing happens without a surrender to the Holy Spirit. Without that Holy Spirit coming upon us and causing us to be like Mary, that He becomes formed in us, Jesus, formed in us by the Holy Spirit, that we start doing things that nobody else does, that we start caring with the caring that's beyond our human caring, that we start loving with the love beyond our human love, that we start praying with the prayer beyond our human prayer. The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, Mary, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. Therefore the one, the Holy One to be born, shall be called Son of God. Yeah, but who allows this radical Holy Spirit to come upon them? Who allows this wonderful Holy Spirit to just descend and make us into other Christ by the grace of God? Like, who does that? I tell you, if the church had done that, all the churches, we would have converted the world a long time ago. The world would have been converted a long time ago. But we get involved in all these other crazy things, you know. We don't get involved in the things of God. The things of God. If the churches and the church just got involved in the things of God and lived by the Spirit of God, we would see things happening. We wouldn't be closing churches. We'd be opening them. We wouldn't be begging young people to come. They'd fill the churches because they'd want something that they don't have. This radical life of giving ourselves over.
So what have we got now? We've got an obligation to come to church on Sunday.
You don't say. You don't say. Obligation to come to church on Sunday. How sad. How sad. Do you know an Eagle Scout? I don't know if you've ever helped an Eagle Scout, but Eagle Scouts go through a process that it's so demanding. And I'm not saying we can earn Jesus. I'm saying, what do we require of people? Come to church on a Sunday if you'd like. The one who gave his life for us, the one who shed his last drop of blood for us, the one who became a human being in the womb of the Virgin Mary. What do we ask of people? Oh, well, come to church on Sunday if you'd like, rather than give your life to him. You were called to give your life to him, not your hour. You were never meant to be a pew potato. You were meant to be a Christian, to stand up in this world as one who loves Jesus Christ. You were meant to be a soldier in the army of God. But what do we ask of people? Do you understand what I'm saying? I believe in my product. I believe in him. I know he transforms lives. I know he's wonderful. I know he won't reject anyone. I know he gave his life for us. I know. I believe in my product, because that's the only product that I have. His name is Jesus. But you have people that don't believe in their product. Today we're going to start off with a couple of jokes. Ho, 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 and a ha, ha, ha. It's a joke, all right. No joke. People going to hell. It's no joke. People are going to hell, do you understand? Because Jesus is no part of their life, because preachers aren't proclaiming. Catholic, Protestant, and Orthodox. It's no joke. This is life and death. This is eternal life and eternal damnation. It's no joke. That's why every opportunity we have to proclaim him. I proclaim him at weddings. I proclaim him at funerals. I proclaim him at baptisms. Every opportunity I have to proclaim him. Because it's no joke. No joke. God became a human being. A fertilized egg in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Mamma mia. Talk about small. The God of the universe, that small, brought forth in Bethlehem. Brought forth in Bethlehem. God of the universe, the one that God spoke the world into existence through his son Jesus Christ. It's beyond me. And then we tell people, well, you know, you have to come to church on a Sunday. Give me a break. There's much more than going to church on a Sunday. There's surrendering our life to the Lord. There's offering our lives as living sacrifices. This, the giving our life to him. There's living for him and not for ourselves. There's being overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. What do we require of people? Minimalism. I tell you what the Lord told me many years ago about minimalism. I hate minimalism. I gave my life for my people, and I do not expect the minimum from them. I expect their love, minimalism. He told me, I hate minimalism. How can we be minimalistic when we believe that God became a human being? How can we be minimalistic when we see that he offers himself on the cross? Though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not count himself equal to God, a thing to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself of the glory. Being born of humankind, becoming humbler still, obediently accepting death, even death upon a cross. How can we be into minimalism when not only did he become a human being, that the scriptures said that when they looked at him, he looked more like an animal on the cross than as a man, unrecognizable. We don't expect anything from people. And because you don't expect it, you don't get it. Blessed are those who expect nothing from God. They will not be disappointed. That's sad. When he gave himself for you and for me. Listen, I need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And after Christmas, Jimmy the Roofer is still roofing, still shingling. 617-519-0341. 617-519-0341. 617-519-0341. Tonight we have Mass at the Holy Rosary. Today we praise the Lord at 1 o'clock. Mass tonight at 7:30. You're welcome to come. There'll be confessions heard after Mass. You know, confessions will be heard. We do it every day. You know why? Because we need to be under the blood. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.